You can open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4 this morning. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I thank the Lord also for David's message. It's just the perfect timing. You wonder what the message before is going to be, and you kind of get a little nervous maybe that it's not going to work out right. But the Lord, I think, had this on purpose, because what I'm going to say this morning could easily, someone may take it the wrong way. It could be taken the wrong way. Someone might be able to say, well, you're talking about ritual now. You're talking about, you have to do this and do that. But you see, if we understand the principle from God's Word this morning that you'll hear, if you can understand that it's based upon a heart desire to know Christ, a heart desire to know Him, to know His will, to know His design, and to follow it, to live it, then the things that we do won't be ritual. They'll be from our heart. And it'll make the difference. Proverbs chapter 4. We'll read verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I'll read that again. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let me remind you of the words of the Apostle Paul. He said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, my course, I have kept the faith. Now let me ask you this. Seriously, do you want to be able to say that at the end of your life? Whether you're 5 or 105, do you seriously want to say that at the end of your life? Not, that would be nice. It would be nice if I could say that. Not, well, that would be good. I know that's what I should desire, but I'm asking you, do you really seriously, in your heart of hearts, can truly say that I want to be able to finish right? It's a serious question. And only you can answer that. But I believe that through God's Word this morning, we can look at it and say, according to God's Word, I can know whether or not I am that kind of man or that kind of woman, that kind of child, a teenager, whoever you are, you can say, there is a way. God has communicated a way for me to know Him, a way for me to succeed in this thing we call the Christian life. May we be serious and honest with ourselves. Would you open your heart up this morning with me, as I've done it, and try to just open my heart to God's Word and say, God, I want to know what You have for me this morning. Would You open your heart this morning for God's message? On March the 19th, 2003, I was in chapel service, and a man preached, and I came to the altar, and I made this vow to God. I said, God, I will serve You. I will be faithful, and of all things, I will not quit. That was the main thing. God, I'm vowing to never quit. Now let me ask you this, though. Does a promise bring the result? No, it doesn't. A promise does not guarantee a result. You see, you can vow every vow you can think of, and it won't guarantee the result. You and I have to do some things. You and I have a pursuit to do. And that's to know our God, to know His Word, to know His will. We have a pursuit. Four things I'd like to look at this morning. We're going to look at the watch, the work, the why, and lastly, we'll look at the way. First of all, we must realize this, that you and I must be a proper guard of our heart to live a successful Christian life. You and I must be a proper guard. Notice I didn't say a guard, because honestly, you are a guard already. Whether or not you realized it before, whether or not you've been a proper guard, a good one or a bad one, you are one. You see, no one can make you do anything. No one can make you think anything unless you hand over the key. As we heard this morning, you open the door to whoever or whatever it is and let entrance into your heart, into your life. We are to be the guards of our heart. We'll look at the watch first. Look what it says here in verse 23. Keep thy heart. What does it mean to watch? What does it mean to keep here? This word keep simply means, as I said for this point, to watch, or it can mean to guard. We are to be guards of our heart. This word is also translated later as a verb is to preserve. And a noun form of this word is a watchman. Think about that for a minute. Think about this idea of being a watchman. Picture yourself as a guard this morning. Think that 1,000, 2,000 years ago, you're at a castle, and you are the guard, and your city is under siege. The enemy is all about you, and it's your job to stand at the gate and protect your city. What do you have to do? Well, for one thing, you have to constantly keep in view your area of responsibility. You have to constantly be viewing. What happens if the guard falls asleep? Anything can happen. Anything can happen. We are to be guards of our heart. We must constantly keep in view our responsibility. In order to live a successful Christian life, we must realize our responsibility as a guard of our hearts. So we've seen what it does it mean to keep. It means to guard. But what is it that we are to keep? It says here, keep thy heart. What is the heart? What is the heart? The heart simply is the inner man. It's the mind, the will. I like to think of it, this is the way I'd like to put it, it's the real you. Your heart is the you that only you and only God knows. That's the real you. That is what your heart is. Look at in Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, speaking of a ruler, not a very good one, but yet the truth is for all of us. It says in Proverbs 23, 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Who are you really? You are what your heart is. The way you think. The way you analyze. The things that you value. That's you. That's me. We're to guard this. The heart and the mind are so much the same, and at least in this context, they're so much the same thing. So I'd like for us to take a few minutes to understand our heart. What is our heart? Understanding our heart. First of all, let's realize your heart, this is important, your heart and mine is constantly being developed. It's constantly being developed. From day one, when you were born, your heart has been developed by influences, by choices that you've made. Things that constantly you've been seeing, viewing, hearing, listening, whatever all it is. Your and mine, since day one, our hearts have been developing. And until the day you die, it's going to continue to develop. It doesn't stop when you turn 12. It's a constant thing. What does a guard have to do? A guard has to constantly be on his guard when he's under attack. Because at any time, the attack can take place. It's a constant thing. Psalms 1:1-3 tells us it's really all about influence. Think about it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And I forget the other one there. When you get up here, you tend to forget that. But it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You see, what's your influence? That's what's going to develop your heart. Your heart is constantly being developed. And you're the guard. You have the sword. You have the shield. You have the equipment. But what are you doing? What am I doing with my heart this morning? The heart is constantly being developed. But our heart, we have to realize too, our heart is vulnerable. Why would God, through the inspiration of His Word, command us to guard something that didn't matter? God doesn't give us needless commands to show His authority and say, well, I'm going to just tell you what to do because I want to be chief. I want to be ruler of your life, so I'm just going to tell you what to do because it doesn't really matter, it's just my way. No, God wants what's best for us. And when He gives us a command, there's a reason for it. We are vulnerable. If you think that you're a strong personality and you can just handle anything that comes your way, watch out. Our hearts are very vulnerable. Maybe it's when we think the least that we're vulnerable, then that's when we're the most. Our heart is vulnerable. But also, we have to realize our heart is under constant attack. Think of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. It says, to put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're under attack, brothers and sisters. Now is not the time to relax in this life and say, well, I'm just going to take it easy. You know, the summer's coming or whatever, you know, finals week's here, so I'm just going to relax. Or whatever the stage of life you're in, to say, I'm just going to relax. No, our job is to constantly be on guard of our heart. Our heart is in constant attack. Also, our heart is capable of good and evil. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. The sin nature. We have an evil heart in and of ourselves. Without Christ, we have no ability for any good. But Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." Do you realize where your words come from? Why do you say the things you say? It comes from your heart. It comes from your heart. And then fifthly, we'll see, from our heart we get our value system. You know, why do I decide the things I decide? Why do I do this? Why do I do that? Why did I do this? You know, sometimes you're like, why did I make this stupid decision? Why did I do that? That was so dumb. From your heart. From your value system. Why do we ever sin? What we do is we value what we want over what God has said. We said, I value this more than I value what God has said. Our value system comes from our heart. Can we not see the value then? The necessity to guard this thing called our heart. Because from it, from this, is where we get our value system. You want to end your life right? Do I want to end my life right? Do I want to serve God? I better be a careful guard, as God has given me the responsibility of my heart. What am I allowing? This is the question for you. This is the question for me. What are you allowing into your life today? What did you allow into your life last week? And it's not just the terrible, awful things that we tend to categorize as the extremes. You know, whether it would be immorality on the television or some terrible thing like that. But so often it's the subtle things. That little joke that the guy or girl in your dorm told that mocks sin, just that little joke. But we laughed. And we didn't guard our heart. And we continue in error. How can anybody say that any decision is too small to be important? Think about that. Everything in life is made up of something smaller, right? You know, we have wood, this pulpit, but it's made out of something smaller. You get down to the atom, now they have the string theory. Everything in life is made of something smaller. So you say, well, that's not that important. It's okay that I smiled at that joke, that maybe it wasn't the best thing in the world, but it was just a little thing. No, everything in life is made of something smaller. So if you and I can decide, even in the little things, that I'm going to follow the design of God, even if it's just how I view humor or how I interrelate with a friend, if we'll decide even in those little things to follow the design of God, all those little things put together are going to become big things. And that the big thing, if we do right, will be, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We've seen these five things. And this statement has been said before in different ways, but I'm going to say it a little bit differently. You've probably heard something similar to this, but listen to this. You say the things you say because you think the things you think, because you believe the things you believe, because you allow what you allow into your heart. You say the things you say because you think the things you think, because you believe the things you believe, because you allow what you allow into your heart. We've seen the watch. But now, let's see the work. Look what it says in Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart, how? With all diligence. We'll have to hurry here, but with all diligence. This idea of all diligence, for you that know English, Noel, in the original language, this is in the superlative use. Does anybody know what that means, superlative? Basically, you could say this. What the author here is saying is, above all the other things in life that you guard, above all the things in life that you guard, guard this the most. This ought to be our most guarded thing, with all diligence. All diligence. The work is twofold. First of all, guard what is coming in. You and I are to keep what is influencing our lives in constant view. We don't just let things come in. We ought to be. We're the guard. God has given us that responsibility. He's given us His Word as the guide for it. We must be in His Word saying, God, what should come in? What should stay out? We should guard what's coming in. But secondly, we need to guard what is already in. As I stand here today, I've lived for 22 plus years. And for 22 plus years, things have been coming into my life, and sad to say, many of those things have been not right. And if I say, well, I'm just going to start now and keep these things out, you need to realize that some of the greatest cities that the world has ever seen, some of the strongest empires were never conquered from the outside. How were they conquered? From the inside. You and I need to do spiritual inventory, a constant thing. We're not perfect. Do you think that we can't think that we could just spotlessly keep everything out? We've got to look within and say, God, do I have a value system that's already askew? Am I already thinking and looking at things in the wrong way? God, I must see what's already in. I got a letter from my mom yesterday, and my mom likes to garden. And she does a pretty good job with it. And now, if any of you know how to get a lot of vegetables to grow in Oklahoma from my mom, she's going to be here at graduation. I would appreciate it if you would give her some advice, because my mom has the hardest time getting certain vegetables to grow in our yard. She tries really hard. She does well with some of them, but some things just will not grow. Tomatoes, we just can't get them. So if any of you know how, my mom would really appreciate that when she comes. But I got this letter from my mom, and she was talking about the garden. And she said that a tree had dropped some acorns last fall into the garden. And she said, I know that I should have pulled them out then, but I didn't, basically. And she said, now we're going to be pulling little trees out for some time. That's what happens. We let things into our life. We say, I know they should have gone. Or maybe we didn't even know they should go. And we're going to be pulling out those things for a long time. But don't be discouraged. Do it anyway. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. We must be the guard. But why? It says in verse 23, for out of it, keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? Because for out of it are the issues of life. Basically, the idea of issues here is the outgoing, the things that are coming out of our life. The idea is the goings out of our life are sourced in our heart. In essence, what has been developed and what is being developed in our heart will determine the decisions we make today and tomorrow. This is so important. Your heart is constantly being developed. All our actions, decisions, feelings come out of our heart, our minds. The question is, what are you allowing to develop in your heart and mind on a daily basis? That's the why. But what is the way? Let's look at this. What is the way? This is the most important thing. Think about this. A guard lets some things in, but he also keeps... And he also lets some things in. He doesn't let some things come in. And he only lets certain things come out. See, it's multifaceted. You let some things in, but some things can't come in. You've got to let some things out. A guard must have official orders when under siege. Think about this. Does a guard just let anybody in when the city's under siege? Oh, anybody can just come in. Of course not. A guard must have official orders whether or not he will let someone in or out of his keeping. Correct? You can imagine you've seen a video or something where you see the man come and he holds out the paper and says, I have orders from some sovereign somewhere saying I have rights to enter. Let me ask you, the way we think, the way you think, the decisions you make, the things you allow to influence you every day, to the smallest, to the greatest thing, does it have official rules from your sovereign for entrance into your heart? Does it? If it doesn't, it doesn't belong. We have, what Ephesians 6, we have the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. We have these things to withstand the darts of the wicked. We have the tools. We have them. What we don't have so often is the appropriation of them. We just don't use them. The way. Two things and we'll be done. What is the way? Later on, I challenge you to read verses 24 through 27. Talks about specific ways. We don't have time now, but specific ways that we guard our hearts. But let me just give you two principles to go with this. First of all, the way to guard our hearts, we choose to let God's Word be the standard for what we think and believe. You must let God's Word be the standard for the way you think and the way you believe, which will then determine the actions that we do, the decisions that we make. Do you realize this? The Bible tells us a fool is constrained by external force. Proverbs 26:3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. A fool has to be beaten. He has to be pushed externally to do something. But a wise man, a blessed man, he is controlled by the Word of God. Psalms 119, verse 1, blessed are the pure, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Who walk in the law of the Lord. They live it. So first of all, we must choose God's Word to be the standard for our thinking and our believing. But secondly, we must seek it. We must seek God's design through His Word and through those He has given to instruct us. What about the next verse in Psalms 119? Verse 2, "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with all, with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways." Seek Him with the whole heart. As Brother David preached this morning, seeking Christ, opening the door to Him. Here it is, brothers and sisters. What are you letting influence your life? Just a personal testimony for me. And that is, God has begun to show me that if I'm going to be what He wants me to be, it's got to be by this book. It's got to be by the wisdom that He's provided. Proverbs 8 tells us wisdom is everywhere to be found. It's crying out to us. We just don't listen. We don't listen for it. We don't look for it. I've begun even in my devotions, just to say, God, not just to read of chapter 2 and try to get a blessing or encouragement out of it, but to say, God, in this time, I want You to show me something in Your Word that'll change the way that I think. Change me. I don't think right. Show me the ways that I don't think right, dear Lord. Help me. Change the way that I think. And if we will actively pursue that in our life, God will change the way we think. Show us the way to think, the way to believe, the way to act. And also just in daily life, listening attentively to instruction. Whether it be a game, when somebody gives me instruction to listen attentively, or whether it be in a classroom, or in chapel, or at church, or just your dad, your mom, or someone in church who comes up to you and says, I'd like to give you some advice. Do you say, oh, I don't care about that. Oh, I'm too busy. I'm not going to listen to this instruction. We must seek it. We must listen to it. You must obey it. This message is of great gravity to you and me this morning. Do you realize if God gives me children, that my children's life, what it turns out to be, may very well hang in the balance on what I do with the message this morning? Your children, your ministries, your future hangs in the balance this morning. What will you do? What are you allowing to influence your life? In order to live the successful Christian life, you and I must begin to properly guard our hearts. Guard it. It's not a hard thing. It's not, yes, it's hard, but it's a joyful thing when you see God change you. It's not ritual. It's love. Guard your heart.